Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'll get a plane ticket.
No.
What do you mean, no?
I'll bring him home soon as I can.
I need to see him. I need to be with Michael.
He's gone.
I need to be with my boy.
There is nothing left.
What the hell does that mean?
So an exchange between Tommy Lee Jones and Susan Sarandon, who play the parents of a murdered soldier in the new film In the Valley, Nothing Left. And Redacted is only one of a number of films, and we talked to the director, Brian De Palma, before about Redacted. But Redacted is only one of a number of films taking on some of the issues around the war on terror. And to talk about some of those other films and get a handle on why now, because it seems like all of a sudden that there's a rash of films, and how they work as movies as well as political statements, I'm joined by our regular October guests. Film critic Owen Gleiberman from Entertainment Weekly and Dana Stevens from Slate.com will join us in a minute. But Owen, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian.
So we have Redacted, Rendition, The Kingdom, The Valley of Ella, just a few of the films coming out or just out that deal with the war, and I probably missed some.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, look, people in Hollywood sort of follow each other. I think the door was kind of cracked open by movies like Jarhead, and now directors, I think it's really driven by the filmmakers themselves, who really want to get out there and explore what's happening in this war and what it means to the American people.
You want to talk about that clip that we just heard?
Yeah, that's from In the Valley of Ella, which is, I think, the best movie that's come out about Iraq. It's a very powerful film. Tommy Lee Jones plays a veteran, a Vietnam veteran himself, who discovers that his son, who had been in Iraq, has gone missing in action. So he goes down to the fort where he was supposed to arrive home and discovers that his son has been killed. And so he investigates what happened to him, and it's really an investigation of what went on in the war and the particular quality of the fighting. He finds a camera phone that has these files that the son shot in Iraq, and we see little glimpses of them. And it's really an attempt to look at how the war in Iraq differs from other wars in terms of the actual combat. I mean, in a sense, they used to say about Vietnam that the soldiers didn't know why they were there. Well, maybe it's that kind of thing, the ante of that almost upped, in that there's no combat in Iraq. It's just these patrols. Kids can be holding these bombs.
And you get hit by an IED,
and
you get hit by an IED,
and the soldiers are breaking into people's homes, and yet there's no real combat, and so the sense of not knowing why you're there, and the link between that kind of physical disillusion of just not knowing what they're doing every day, and the moral disillusion of the war is very powerful in it.
And Brian De Palma, when he was here before, said a very interesting thing, that the reason that he felt compelled to make a feature film rather than a documentary is because the mainstream media just are not telling the war story in visual images. You don't really see these stories being told on TV, and so the kind of footage that he wants just really isn't available. Now let's play a clip from Rendition, which deals with the practice of sending or rendering non-U.S. citizen suspects to countries that sometimes use torture for questioning rather than leaving them to be dealt with under the U.S. justice system. Reese Witherspoon here plays one such prisoner's wife. And in this scene, two politicians are arguing. The actors are Meryl Streep and Peter Sarsgaard.
You have him.
I didn't say that.
Yeah. I'll say. Mr. Al Ibrahim should be brought back to the U.S. If he's guilty, try him. If not, let him go home.
Mm-hmm. Honey, this is nasty business. But there are upwards of 7,000 people in central London alive tonight because of information that we elicited just this way. So maybe you can put your head on your pillow, feel proud for saving one man while 7,000 perish. But I got grandkids in London, so I'm glad I'm doing this job.
So that exchange between the characters played by Peter Sarsgaard and Meryl Streep, Sarsgaard trying to locate the man who's been captured and sent back to his country of origin by Meryl Streep. And also with us, in addition to Owen Gleiberman from Entertainment Weekly, is the film critic from Slate.com, Dana Stevens. Hi, Dana.
Hi, glad to be here.
So have you seen that one yet?
No, not yet. Seeing it next week.
Owen, did you get to see that?
Yeah, I just saw Rendition last night. And what you heard in that clip was Meryl Streep as a CIA executive who basically is the one who is putting into practice the Bush-Cheney view of taking these interrogations with extreme prejudice and outsourcing them to other countries. And this is basically this kind of grimly star-studded message movie. I mean, the message is that torture is bad, and there is a certain way that you're engaged by parts of it. It's kind of hard to watch an innocent man being tortured and not feel something in the movie. And yet, at the same time, I felt it was a very kind of crude, hit-you-over-the-head movie. It doesn't really explore how the administration came to these policies. And I feel like it's sort of a preaching to the converted movie, and it doesn't really illuminate anything for those of us who are against the kind of interrogation practices that America has been using.
Now, Meryl Streep is also in another one of the films just out, Robert Redford's Lions for Lambs, actually not just out. It's not coming out until Christmas. Do you think the actors, and for that matter, the directors, Dana, are drawn to these films as political statements more than movies?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like it's those movies have everything going for them in terms of attracting big Hollywood actors. Big Hollywood actors tend to be left-wing, so they're going to agree with the message of the movie. But they also offer very juicy, topical, and very sort of Oscar-worthy roles. So who wouldn't be drawn to such a comic?
Yeah, although, you know, funny enough, the only one of these new films that seems to be making a lot of money so far among those that are out is The Kingdom.
The Kingdom is making more money than some of them because it has a lot of explosions in it. But even that movie is not a big hit. And I'm not even talking about money. I mean, I think, you know, this is kind of just an intuitive thing. But do you really have the feeling that any of these movies is really catching on with the American people, becoming part of the cultural dialogue? My feeling is that they're not. It's certainly not comparable to when the Vietnam films came out, which was admittedly after the war. And you felt that films like Apocalypse Now and finally Platoon were really, I mean, they engaged people. They became part of the news.
Right.
There's a hunger for that more now than ever because, as Brian De Palma made that point, the news is now withheld from us. And so movies can have the responsibility of bringing the news more than ever. And yet, I'm not sure that the movie-going public is really engaged by these films right now.
Maybe they want to get away from this when they go to the movies, I don't know. But the movie The Kingdom has a very different tone, at least through much of it. And here is a clip from that film, and you'll hear it. An FBI agent played by Jennifer Garner talks about how the fight against terrorism is changing.
Al-Qaeda lost the first phase of this war. They know it. So a new zero-sum phase has begun. If you're a Westerner or a moderate Arab and you won't join us, we will let loose the truly talented murderers. Men like Abu Hamza. These are operational commanders who plan, organize, train, brainwash, preach extreme violence. These are the men we're fighting.
So Dana, is this the Green Berets of the War on Terror?
Well, this sounds so much like a clip from 24 that you could easily have fooled me. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys talked about The Kingdom at all before I showed up.
No, we didn't.
The Kingdom, to me, was just almost unwatchable, to my surprise, because it's directed by Peter Berg, the maker of Friday Night Lights, which is a favorite show of mine. And I was sort of looking forward to his take, even if it be a popular one, on this imaginary revenge on terror scenario. And to me, it was just a sort of red meat fantasy of, you know, blowing the terrorists away, especially the last, it sort of dangled some complexities at the beginning and then snatched them all away for this final action sequence. Have you seen it yourself?
I haven't seen it yet. So Owen is saying that it's the action maybe that's drawing people in, but maybe if it's a, you know, go get the bad guys theme rather than, oh, look at all the morally questionable things our own government is doing, that it's still easier to sell that in America.
Yeah, but the whole problem with the movie is that the Kingdom sets itself up as a film that's going to be about the relationship between America and Saudi Arabia and the complexities of that. I mean, in some ways, the opening credit sequence, which sketches in the whole history of the relationship between those two countries, is more interesting than the rest of the movie. There's a certain point at which Jamie Foxx and the actor playing the Saudi cop that he teams up with, they both agree that they don't care anymore about why these terrorists are doing what they're doing. They just, when there's a suicide bombing, they just want to go out there and get them. And yet the whole reason we're going to this movie is, yes, we know that we have to capture terrorists, but the reason we're going to see a movie like The Kingdom is we're trying, ostensibly, to engage some of these issues of why is it that these terrorists are doing that? What is the relationship between America and the United States going back decades, rooted in oil and things like that? The movie promises that kind of explanation and then just kind of blows it all up starting halfway through. And I was really put off by that and disappointed because Peter Berg is a good filmmaker.
I wonder why we're seeing all these Iraq war movies now when the war is still going on as compared to what happened after Vietnam. As Owen was pointing out, Apocalypse Now, Platoon, some of the others came out really a good few years after the Vietnam War ended. I mean, one theory that I have is that the war on terror is, as the critics say, a war without end. So maybe they feel like they have to put it out now because there's no discernible endpoint to wait for, although maybe it's, you know, maybe that's not the whole reason.
I think that's part of the reason. I mean, there is a sense in a way, if not now, when? I also think that time has speeded up. I mean, so many things like the internet have just made things more immediate and rapid fire, and where in the Vietnam War, it didn't actually seem that long before the Vietnam film started coming out with Coming Home, and yet it was actually like 4 or 5 years. Now it would seem, I think, absurd if Hollywood just waited 5 years after the Iraq War ends, whenever that's going to happen, before they started putting out these movies. There's an argument that's been made that they are coming out too soon. And I think that that whole phrase, the too soon thing, began, I think, when that trailer played for United 93 and there were people in the audience that said too soon, too soon. I think the subtext of too soon, of that phrase, is that the American people are really concerned, that they almost need to be protected. Oh, we're so sensitive, it's too soon, we can't even deal with these issues. But I'm wondering if too soon in some ways is becoming the excuse. Because the question, I think there's a question that these movies raise that's larger than whether America is interested in seeing movies about Iraq. It really raises the question of how, of what the relationship is between the people and the war itself. Yes, officially people are disillusioned with the war, but the question is, are they just getting tired of it? Do they want the channel changed? Are Americans engaged with their own disillusion about the war? And I think if they are, that would suggest to me they would want to go out and see films about it, especially when you have a movie as powerful as In the Valley of Ella, where that film's failure to catch on with people, I find a real disappointment.
Dana, can the movies that Hollywood chooses to make or the movies that the audience chooses to go see or not tell us something about the people's relationship with the news of the day?
Well, I don't know. Like Owen says, I mean, the mere fact that these movies haven't caught on in a big way says something curious and disappointing about our relationship to the war. On the one hand, Americans seem to be obsessed with the war. I think we're in a moment when we're watching the news more than ever. We're getting the news in every possible form. You know, Bush's approval rating has never been lower. It seemed that this would be the perfect moment for people to go and, you know, in community, in a theater, think through various issues of the war, whether it be post-traumatic stress disorder that Valley of Ella deals with or the treatment of terror suspects and Rendition. These are things that everyone seems to be talking about, at least in my circles, but nobody's flocking to the movies.
Do you find yourself having to be almost policy critics, not just film critics, when the movies trample on this kind of area?
Well, I guess, what do you think, Owen? I mean, inevitably, it's you're not going to be able to mask your own politics and your own personal reaction to these incredibly graphic renditions of suffering.
I think so. I mean, any movie critic that writes a positive review of something like In the Valley of Ella, where you deal with some of the politics, inevitably you get postings on the internet that say, why are you doing that? You should just be a movie critic. Don't give me your politics, especially if it's liberal politics. But I think the two are really inseparable. I think that you have to engage your own feelings about the war to write about these films. I found In the Valley of Ella actually really quite illuminating about the war. It told me something about just how at sea the soldiers are in terms of what they're doing or what they think they're doing. And I think Brian De Palma tried to capture the same thing in Redacted, filtering it through this multimedia landscape where he films in many different styles. There's a parody of a French documentary. You see the soldiers' home movies, postings on the internet, and he really does capture something there. I found the movie somewhat unconvincing in terms of its acting. I think Brian De Palma is, I will always honor him because he made the formative movie of my youth, Carrie, but he's not really a realist. And so I wasn't really convinced by the acting of the soldiers. Nevertheless, there is an attempt there to really capture what's going on in the war. And I think you can't separate your own feelings from it, even if you're going to get blasted as part of the liberal media.
Yeah. And Dana, I wonder if you saw Redacted. It certainly seems like Brian De Palma is trying to create a whole new visual vocabulary. It's a very different kind of narrative using, again, even though he made them up, he didn't actually take these from actual websites and stuff. He's got, you know, footage that recreates the idea of a video blog. He's got footage as if from embedded journalists. He's got footage of as if from documentaries. He's got this infrared night vision sort of green and black overlay over a key scene as if looking through night vision goggles. So the visual language is very different and very striking here.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has some really clever visual ideas, and, you know, the way that essentially he's trying to make a kind of a Frankenstein monster of a movie that, you know, that has no actual Brian De Palma footage in it. It's all footage that was shot by one of the soldier characters or found on the internet or, you know, taken from a Arab news show, et cetera. But I think what struck me, the sort of unintentional irony of all that, is that I guess Brian De Palma's point in using that fragmented narrative was to say, look, we can never get the whole story. We just have these different shards from different points of view, and something is always obscured. But the fact is, Brian De Palma's movie shows you every possible thing you could want to see about his story, be it the most graphic piece of violence or the most obvious plot point. Every key conversation among these conspiring soldiers just happens to be caught on a convenient security camera. And it seems as if he was using this very sophisticated technique to tell this pretty obvious story.
Do you want to comment before you go on this dust up between De Palma and Mark Cuban, the main financier of this movie? It's all over the gossip page of the Daily News today. It's the main item in Russia and Malloy, of all things, about Cuban, the financier, or at least the studio, Magnolia Pictures, not allowing some of the images of real soldiers in Iraq to be shown at the end of the film, so they're blacked out. And De Palma was in here before you saying, well, my movie Redacted has been redacted, and he's not at all happy about it.
Couldn't be a better piece of publicity for him, though.
I tell you.
I didn't know about that. I got to keep up with my tabloids.
Yeah, I think that's right. Well, you know, it's just these kinds of legalism can tie things up. I mean, when I saw the film, that was actually one of the few parts of it I did find very powerful, because those images are very, very striking and horrific. So I don't know what to say about that. I hope they win that fight.
The ending is incontestably powerful, but I had some questions about the ethics of churning out a bunch of pictures of unknown dead Iraqis to make us all feel horrible at the end of the movie.
Right. He says he's already lost that fight, by the way.
Oh.
Is there a tension between making an entertaining film and a political statement? Do these films do a good job of managing that tension in general, this group of new releases we've been talking about?
I think In the Valley of Ella does. I mean, it's an incredibly compelling, brilliantly acted drama by especially Tommy Lee Jones. I think a movie has to be engaging and entertaining in order to really plunge you into these issues. I think that defined the Vietnam films, right? I mean, they were all so compelling as cinema, Apocalypse Now, Platoon, and then Full Metal Jacket. And so if you don't engage an audience, but I think you can't do it cynically. I think The Kingdom is an example of trying to, quote-unquote, entertain people by just going for, you know, going for the explosions, really just turning into a kind of demagogic action film. And that's not really going to work, because you're not going to be dealing with the issues at stake if you do that.
All right. We'll have to leave it there. I've been speaking with film critics Dana Stevens of Slate.com and Entertainment Weekly's Owen Gleiberman. They're joining us every Thursday this month to talk about new releases this fall. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.